Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Another great day here in Wisconsin. Another unpredictable day when it comes to how it feels outside. Sunny day, but if I would have jumped in the air, I could have got to my office. Just jumping in the air. The wind would have drove me to the office. How windy it was, but with that, annoying news out of Green Bay. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Troy, and those that may not have heard, but Troy Gaia, who served a suspension a couple years back due to his arrest that he had during the offseason a couple years back involving marijuana. Well, he is suspended the first four games of the 2017 season for testing positive for PEDs. So, I think it's time, Troy, the Packers just cut their ties with him. Send him packing. His first year in Green Bay, he had a really strong year, but since then, he's done pretty much nothing but take up a roster spot. So, the defensive line position, to me, already a need for Green Bay, has now become a priority position to go along with linebacker, corner, and potentially offensive line. So, with that, I'm surprised we haven't heard any news about any contracts not done because you can't sign, but you can legally tamper with people. And I'm surprised you haven't heard any potential contract done yet. But anyways, how are things out in Western PA?
Well, things are rainy, so it's kind of dreary. Cold rain tonight. It's actually, for March, that's okay. So out here, Evan, there's a guy in Cleveland called Terrell Pryor, who's actually from a small town in Western PA called Jeanette. And there's quite an uproar going on now because he changed his social media pages and took all affiliation down with the Cleveland Browns. So you know how people overreact. But at the end of the day, did Cleveland want to spend the price tag that he's going to warrant in the free agent market? They probably didn't want to pay the $9, $10 million that he's going to get elsewhere. He had a great breakout year by switching positions last year, but that's the outcry out here. Terrell Pryor changing his social media before free agency actually can get started and things get signed. So you could talk about not a lot of news. That's the news that I had out here just because it's local. Probably didn't get much attention elsewhere unless you follow those things on the Twitter feed, but being in Western PA, I have a lot of followers out here in the Pittsburgh area, so that was kind of the big news. But other than that, the thing we talked about a little bit last night, Evan, the NFL Combine was this weekend. I caught a little bit of it. But in today's day and age, we've had this discussion. The Combine is an invite event to look at people. Some people choose not to participate. But at the end of the day, these scouts have watched film. They've watched game. The combine, yes, it could hurt your stock. It could increase your stock for those guys that are maybe on the bubble and answer a few questions. But honestly, Evan, the pro days are coming up here, and those are more controlled environments. And I think there's probably more stock put into the pro day at the university. The combine, in my mind, doesn't have the same allure that it did 15 years ago, but it's still an event to get the top prospects around. And there are some people that did some good things, and then there's some people that didn't do so good things. And I know we're not going to talk about it tonight, but the Big Ten basketball tournament tomorrow, the ACC, started tonight, Evan. And Pittsburgh, a team that has struggled mightily this year, actually won their first round game over Georgia Tech. So there's a little bit of uproar in a good way for Pitt basketball, but I don't think they can make a run through the ACC tournament to get to the NCAAs. I mean, that would be quite a run. That would be quite special, but I think Pitt is probably going to go down in round two. So that's kind of what's going on here, but let's get started. We got about 25 minutes. Talk some football, NFL Combine. Like I said, I watched a little bit of it, caught a little bit here and there. I didn't sit down and watch it like I have in years past. How much did you catch of the Combine, actual live or recorded? And then let's talk about the guys that did well that maybe helped improve their stock, because there are a few.
Yeah, well, I did watch, I'm not going to say watch a ton of the Combine. I did watch a pretty good amount. And I just want to give some general thoughts on the Combine before we go into specific players that stood out. You know, I've had some of these discussions on Twitter with people that are all like, you know, overreacting to either positive or negatively to how people performed at the Combine. T.J. Watt, for instance. I personally like T.J. Watt. I think T.J. Watt is an outstanding football player. But I was debating with one guy on Twitter who was not happy about they didn't appreciate his there's a drill where they start on the stomach and they got to get up, shuttle right, shuttle left, back, forward. He didn't think he did the drill as well as the other players, so he's not worth the first round pick. Well, I disagree with them, and he's basically saying that T.J. Watt's only getting the love because of his last name. And I've seen a couple people mention about T.J. Watt. But at the end of the day, the Combine is just a very small piece, very, very, very small puzzle that personnel people and scouts and people that cover the NFL draft for a living use. A player is not going to make or break themselves with the NFL Combine. A lot of, basically, the NFL personnel people and the talking heads that you read all the time or hear on watch on TV talking about the draft, they've already done their evaluations of guys. The Combine is just giving some final touches on guys, and if somebody really blows them out of the water, they might take a second look at them on film to see if this is something that there's something about them that they missed. The Combine is, to me, a little bit overrated. It's mostly for fans. It's for the fans to get excited about and get excited over people. And, Ross from Washington ran a 4.22. Holy crap. He must be a godsend wide receiver. But I guarantee you, if anyone didn't know Ross going into the Combine, all his performance did was make teams look at him on film. Relook at the film to see how he breaks in and out of cuts, see how he runs routes, see how he turns his hips, see how he changes direction, things like that. So I hope people didn't overreact to the NFL Combine, because you see it all the time. Golston a couple years back, you have Bosworth, guys that just completely tear up the Combine, get people excited. Some personnel guys even get overexcited. And then they reach on guys and they never pan out. So I just want to get my general observations on the Combine there. So do you have anything to add to that before we talk about any particular players?
Yeah, they're wearing tank tops and T-shirts. Yeah, I know. Now, the thing with Ross, I'll say this, Evan, that was for him to be able to do that. I mean, many people will say, well, he's fast, he's a track guy. Everything I've read, I haven't had the chance to watch him play a lot, but this guy's a bona fide wide receiver, and he's got that type of speed, and he ran that in his shorts and tennis shoes. That could have helped his stock tremendously, because speed at wide receiver, speed is one thing that you cannot teach. And from what I've read and what I have observed via social media and different websites is that this kid could be the real deal. And if he's got speed and hands, whew, watch out NFL. could have another good receiver on your hands. So, but like you, I look at these things, and even getting to pro day, Evan, I look at pro day and I said it's in a controlled environment. It's a safe environment. The pro day is set up with the players so they can do things that are going to look good for the scouts. And the combine, you can prepare for the combine. Now, I know you can't really prepare for your speed. You are what you are, and you lift weights and do these things. But I think the NFL, Evan, I guess my one comment here is the combine used to be under lock and key. And if you remember, when I lived in Indianapolis, I had a chance to attend the combine and sit way up in the stands, like way up in the stands, and just watch. Well, this year, they actually let fans not into like right next to the weight room, but they had their stands, and they could watch the players lift weights. I think that's overdoing it just a little bit. Going in and being able to watch the combine is one thing. But setting up stands in the weight room for the NFL Combine, to me, a little bit over the line that they need to go. I don't think you need fans in the weight room. What are your quick thoughts there, allowing select fans into the weight room to watch these guys do the reps?
Yeah, I think that's pushing a little too much. I don't think you need fans, and they're always going to be next. Allow some fans at the press conferences, the team interviews, are going to allow fans on the field and run the 40-yard dash with them. I think you got to draw a line somewhere, and I think putting fans in the weight room, like you're saying, is definitely a little too much to do. So, and I didn't mean to downgrade Ross. He is a great receiver. I was just using him as an example that really the only thing his performance is going to do is just give teams to take a second look at guys. So, there were a few guys overall, Troy, that stood out at the NFL Combine. I'm going to start off with Leonard Fournette. And, you know, when you look on paper, the 4.51 40 that he ran, it doesn't seem that overall that impressive. But then you look at the fact he's 6 foot, 240 pounds. That's a 240-pound man running a 4.5 40-yard dash. That's quite impressive to me. I tend to say that the 40-yard dash overall is overrated, but that's pretty damn good. You know, he's quite the fast guy. Christian McCaffrey, another running back, really helped the stock quite a bit at the NFL Combine. The only thing he hurt himself at was probably the bench press, which to me isn't that important for running back. But outside of Ross, Jalen Merrick really shined for Minnesota, running a 4.28 at the 40. Myles Garrett, if the Cleveland Browns are smart, he should be the first pick in the NFL draft. He really was impressive at the combine, and you watch him on film. His performance at the combine and what he shows on film backs it up. He is an athletic freak. He is an elite prospect, and I know Cleveland needs quarterback help, but there is not a quarterback in this draft king number one, and Cleveland needs to fix that defense. The defense is really, really bad as well, and they got to improve in the trenches, not offense and the defensive line. So that would be very good person to take. And I think one guy, Troy, that is going to just completely probably get overdrafted based off his combine performance is a safety from Connecticut, Obi Melifuna. He broad jumped 11 feet 9 inches. He just shorted the record, which is 12 feet 3 inches. He had a vertical jump of 44 inches. He ran a pretty fast 40 time. And he looked very good going through the individual drills. And you see it every year. You see a guy that tests out of the water. And I know his film looks pretty good, too. But you see guys that just completely blow it out of the water. And teams are probably going to overvalue him based off his performance. And I know I talked about a lot of personnel guys have pretty much are done with their evaluations come NFL Combine for the most part, but you do see occasionally a guy just come out of nowhere and make players take second looks. But, you know, speed is one thing I want to point out. So linebacker position especially, a lot of speed at linebacker, a lot of speed at corner, a lot of speed at wide receiver. So lots of speed in this draft, and that is one area, Troy, the Packers desperately need to improve in, is just getting faster overall on both sides of the ball. They got to get faster, and this is the perfect draft to do so. But I tweeted out the joke. There's a linebacker from Colorado State ran a 4.97 40-yard dash, but they're talking about how, you know, he's got intangibles, measurables, he's quick to the football, yada, yada, yada. So I said, you have all these very fast linebackers, and Ted Thompson's going to probably draft the guy that ran a 4.97 to be middle linebacker. But, you know, who stood out to you? And I got to mention, too, I guess, T.J. Watt. He really stood out to me as well. And maybe it's because he's a Wisconsin guy, and maybe I'm a little biased there, but he stood out to me as well. So who stood out to you at the combine?
Well, again, I got to be honest. I didn't catch a lot of it. But when I look at it, I'm not going to say one player, but I was looking again, and I guess maybe I'm the old traditional guy, and I really paid attention to the offensive linemen. And there were a couple fast times. And in today's NFL, they ask these linemen to do a lot of pulling and be very athletic. But again, too, a 40-yard dash for an offensive lineman, it can turn heads. It can get you to mark a name down on a piece of paper. But if they can't perform on the field and they can't block the guy in front of them, it doesn't matter how fast a 350-pound guy can run, right? I'm not going to throw out specific names because I don't feel it's my place, because I did not watch from start to finish. Like I normally do, just due to other commitments going on. But I look at this class, Evan, and I know offensive line was one place where the Packers could use depth. And so I did pay a little bit of attention and did a lot of research on offensive line. But you look at it, and I think this could be a deep class for linemen. I'm not saying that there's, you know, going to be a big run in the first round, but there's some good quality guys out there. And, you know, there was a number of guys when you're looking at who performed well, you know, as I was reading through, there's guys that did run well in the 40, but then didn't do well on the field drills. But there was one guy that I guess I kept going back to and kept looking at his profile, watched a little bit of video. It was this kid from Alabama, Cam Robinson. And when I didn't know a whole lot about him before the combine, so I guess that's what the combine can do for you. But this is a guy that, you know, from all did really well at the combine, and, you know, he's possibly going to be projected to go out and play left tackle. So, you know, I didn't follow him a whole lot, but I guess he had a very good combine. And then, like you said, Fournette and everything that he did, you look at the 40, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's a 40. But like you said, a big rumbling, tumbling back like Fournette running that fast when he gets in the open field, I'd hate to be a safety, because he's going to either run me over or he's going to run by me. So I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. One thing you didn't mention at all, Evan, is quarterback play. And, you know, this year's quarterback class, in my mind, I know why you probably didn't bring it up, because I don't think there's a franchise quarterback in this year's draft, which means there'll probably be two or three, six, 7 years from now and look back and say this porous draft before the draft went down, now you have three franchise quarterbacks. But I look at the quarterbacks and I just see serviceable guys right now. I don't think any of them really changed my opinion as to whether or not I think they're franchise guys. I'm not saying they can't be valuable quarterbacks, and a quarterback position is a premium, but from everything that that I've researched about the combine and about these guys, and I even before the combine, you know, I look at, I don't think there's a guy where you draft him and can throw him into the fire. You know, these Andrew Luck types and Peyton Manning types, they don't come around very often. But this year, I don't think you have a bona fide guy that can step in and day one and be the guy. I think every quarterback in this draft, no matter how well they did at the combine, no matter how well they do at their pro day, I think each of them, their deficiencies, I don't want to say are more than their positives, but I think their deficiencies moving to the NFL game, they need work on those things before you can call them the number one guy on your team. Now, there's going to be quarterbacks that go in the first round. I think any of these guys are guys that can step in immediately, turn a franchise around, and be the guy that you're going to ride their coattails for 10 years. I think each of them would benefit from that learning curve. And I know people that listen to the show all the time, if you remember, you know, my adage, I strongly believe that these guys should sit and learn behind a veteran for a while anyway. But there are guys that can come in, and Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, guys of that nature that are just really good, that can handle it. I don't think these guys are at that class where you can turn the reins over to them immediately the first day of training camp and say, you're a number one pick, you're going to be our franchise guy, go get them. I think each of them need to come in and they need to have that time to learn in the NFL just based on the things that they've done prior to the combine and from the combine workouts. But again, Evan, as we've said, you can look at the combine, you can critique it, you can go through with a fine-tooth comb. At the end of the day, these scouts have so much game film, and that's, to me, where it really matters. What do you do on the field? Are you a gamer? Can you go out and play the game? I don't care how fast you run in shorts. I don't care how well you throw the ball in shorts. I don't care how well you catch the ball in shorts. Can you put the pads on? Can you run the routes? Can you block the guy in front of you? Can you read a defense? Those are the things that matter to me. So I had to throw that in there. I'm not saying that's why I didn't sit down and watch the combine. I think it can be used as a tool. But again, when I have other things going on, I'm at the point now where if I can catch it, I can catch it. So that's my thought on the combine.
Yeah, you brought up quarterbacks, and I didn't bring up quarterbacks. The only one that really intrigues me is Deshaun Watson. Watson intrigues me quite a bit. I like watching him play. He's a great teammate. He's a leader. He knows how to win. He's got the intangibles to be a really good quarterback, I think, on the next level. And he throws a very good deep ball. And that's huge in the NFL, especially today, being able to throw a good deep ball. But he's the only one, Troy, that really, I think, can have the possibility of being really good very quickly. The others are going to take some time. Trubisky from North Carolina, the kid from Notre Dame, kid from Texas Tech, you know, very raw prospects that are just going to take some time overall to become an NFL caliber starting quarterback. And, you know, there's going to be that guy that comes out of nowhere and makes you say, damn, how did we miss him? You look at a guy like Dak Prescott. You look at Tom Brady. There's going to be that guy that shocks everybody. But, you know, position-wise, the line quarterback, not very good draft. If that's what you need help in, if that's what you want to draft, not a very good draft. There's a reason why Mike Glennon is being shopped around as a free agent around the league, and it's looking like the Chicago Bears are going to be the front runners for his services, and he's about to get paid. And Mike Glennon is nowhere near a quality NFL starting quarterback. He's a career backup for a reason, but he's going to get paid to be a starter. And it's just, that's where this draft class is. That's how teams view this year's draft class. They'd rather take a flyer on Mike Glennon than anyone in this draft. So, anyways, with that, I don't really have anything else to add. I'm going to throw it back to you to get some of your final thoughts.
Yeah, like I think I've pretty much exhausted my thoughts on the whole combine. But, my 2 cents worth on Glennon, it's amazing. It's, if you're a casual NFL fan, you probably don't even know who the heck this guy is. I mean, if you don't follow the NFL week in and week out, you probably are on the internet searching this guy's career stats because you're not going to find many. I mean, the guy, like you said, Evan, he's going to get paid, and good for him. Good for him. He's going to get his payday. But now you're going to go to a Chicago Bear team, and that's likely where he's going to end up. And take your money and then take your hits because you're going to get crushed. You are going to a team that is rebuilding, and by far you're not the savior. You may want to think you're great and you want to sign the big contract. You and Brock Osweiler can go hang out on an island and count your money because – you're not going to last very long. And, again, I can't blame the guy for going and taking the money. That's just the way the NFL goes, Evan. And like you said, you know, the quarterback class, and I mentioned the offensive linemen, you're probably not going to take a bunch near the top, but you could probably fill some depth with the amount of guys that are out there, but all of them need work. I mean, you're looking at projects. I see a lot in this draft, and not just the, you know, offensive linemen, quarterbacks. The draft overall, you know, when we recap it, especially when we get to the Packers, and, you know, I'll probably ask you to join me and maybe do something with me on the Steelers show, going over their draft, you're probably going to look at teams, the Steelers and the Packers, probably picking some guys where they need work, and maybe they're a year or two away. And is that the right thing to do? Not necessarily, but when you look at this draft and where the needs are on these teams, that might be that the best player available is a guy that, oh, he's got some upside, but he's going to need some work. I see a lot of players like that in the draft this year, Evan. And it'll be interesting to recap this draft as it's coming up here in the foreseen future. But you know, tomorrow night, Evans, Wednesday night, Big Ten tournament starts tomorrow night, so I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow night. March Madness, excited to start talking about that a lot. And, you know, free agency. You know, maybe by tomorrow night we'll have some more rumors out there of guys that are going to be signing with other teams. Can't officially do it until Thursday, like you said. But teams can, I'm air quoting, tamper with players and put the bug in their ears. So we'll see what happens. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. We'll get back at you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.